RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Hit me up on Twitter at Austin R. Bechtold. You can tweet at The Fan at 937TheFan. You can also watch the show on Twitter. You can watch on YouTube. You can watch on Twitter. We have the video feed pinned to the top of our Twitter feed, so you can go there and you can watch the show. If you're driving around in your car and you just get home and you want to listen and you want to watch, good way to be able to do so, as well as on your Odyssey app and KDK FM here in Pittsburgh. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. What they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Mike Tomlin is set to address the media before a winner-take-all, win-or-you-go-home game against the Baltimore Ravens. The NFL script writers are salivating over this game almost as much as our friends Jim Nantz and Tony Romo salivated over Myles Garrett potentially getting the sack record against the Steelers. It seemed like any time that Garrett was rounding the corner against Rodgers, you knew about it. Tony Romo was making a point of it. But I'm very curious what Tomlin has to say about some of those decisions, and I'm sure he'll be pressed about it as the coach is all ready to go.
Welcome to AFC North Championship Week, as I like to refer to it. Before I get started, I'll start with a quick review of our last performance. As I said after the game, certainly a disappointing outcome, but certainly not the first disappointing outcome this collective has had this year. You have your bumps along the way, and there's certainly growth associated with it. And to me, that's what work yesterday was about for us, an opportunity to take the emotions out, to really assess what transpired in the game and why we were unsuccessful in terms of engineering victory. We did that. We did that as a larger collective. We did that as smaller groups within the collective in an effort to be more detailed and gain an understanding. All that's done in an effort to build a more perfect plan this week, to divide the labor up more intentionally in an effort to position ourselves better to make necessary plays. And when you really look at the game, that's what it boiled down to. We didn't make enough significant plays, and certainly, the Cleveland Browns had a lot to do with it as well. As I mentioned several times last week, their defensive unit is the number one unit in our division, offense or defense, and they certainly played to that. We didn't have enough success on third down to extend drives and to produce enough points to secure victory, and that's the reality of it. Some of it obviously had a lot to do with their talents and their schematics. But we own also the responsibility of performing, and we didn't make enough plays. We didn't put our guys in enough positions to make plays, and that's certainly obvious based on the outcome of the game. you know, when a game is going like that, usually you look for a splash play or two, maybe from defense or special teams to kickstart you and give you a leg up. And although our defense and special teams were solid, we missed out on those game-changing or momentum-changing plays. I thought we had one 2 minutes or so before the halftime. Herbig had his hands on the ball in our left flat, and he certainly had an opportunity to run it back had he caught it. And I think those are the type of plays that really kind of break games like that open. And when you get them, you have an opportunity to move on and find your rhythm and do what's required to win. And when they don't, it's obviously more tough sledding. And it certainly was that for us. In a special teams game, I thought our punt team was really solid, particularly in the second half. I think we had 5 punts inside the 20-yard line, and we kept them on the long field. And keeping them on the long field enabled us to get on and get off defensively repeatedly, particularly in the fourth quarter, and give ourselves a chance to drive and win. And we certainly had that. I think we had three and outs there in the fourth quarter defensively, and the punt unit teed some of that up from a position field positioning perspective. I like the way we moved the ball in hurry situations on offense in 2 minutes. We were able to negotiate the ball down the field in a 2-minute drive and kick a field goal before halftime. And certainly we gave ourselves a chance to win going, you know, 60 so yards in the waning moments of the game to have, you know, second and goal from the 7 and have 3 shots to do it. And so I appreciate that component of it. But certainly we need to look at this with sober eyes, man, as we formulate our plan for this week. And not only in terms of what happened to us in that game, but also the depths of this relationship that we have with Baltimore. We played them a short period of time ago, but beyond that, there's just real intimacy in these divisional matchups. And so, man, we're working with an edge. This is chess, not checkers, as you strategize and at the early portions of the week, not only forecasting who's available to us potentially, but also who's available or unavailable for them and what that might do to strategy. And so, you know, it's a big part of the week for us. Before I get into Baltimore specifically, I'll talk about some injury updates and give you some updates of where we are from a personnel standpoint. Darnell Washington is out. He had surgery on his broken arm this morning, and so he won't be available to us. Thankfully, all other guys I'm about to mention have some level of optimism in terms of their availability. Calvin Austin, who missed the last game with a hamstring, definitively has a chance. Brandon Echols, same thing with his groin. James Pierre, same thing with his calf. Isaac Siamalu, same thing with his tricep injury. Malik Harrison's got a bone bruise that was sustained in game. It may limit him at the early portions of the week, but optimistic certainly about his inclusion. And although I hadn't seen TJ today, optimistic about his potential inclusion in this game. We'll work him up throughout the course of the week and let the amount of participation and the quality of participation be our guide in terms of whether or not he's a participant. But certainly I'm more optimistic this week than I have been in previous weeks as I stand here today. Now on to Baltimore. It's obvious that, you know, the rubber's meeting the road, not only for us, but for others. And we have intimate knowledge of opponents. The way that we do Baltimore, you really see, you know, some of their go-tos when things get thick. Just looking at the Green Bay game, for example, it's obvious, man, when things get thick, man, they play behind their big runner and the people that go with him on offense. 42, the big lead back, and 88, the base tight end. Those three often work in tandem as they work to win the line of scrimmage and run a variety of run schemes at you, leads, gap scheme stuff, zone scheme stuff. They do an awesome job of mixing it up, but the reality is that it's a two-back attack when things get really thick. It certainly was a two-back attack in Green Bay last weekend, and they played behind that. Certainly they have awesome corresponding misdirection and play-action passes off of some of that work. That really allows them to get yards and chunks in the passing game with guys like Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews and others. So none of that's new, but certainly their renewed commitment to that style of play. is not surprising, but daunting nonetheless as we analyze that video and lean in on prep. From a defensive perspective, it looks like they're minimizing some of their man-to-man since the last time we played them. We had some big plays in one-on-one circumstances. It looks like they've pivoted a little bit and worked to minimize some of that schematically. They're more zone defenses than they were the last time. Less isolation one-on-one moments to produce one-on-one big plays and flip the field or produce scoring drives. And so it looks like they're doing some quintessential Baltimore things when things get thick on both sides of the ball in an effort to better engineer victory. Certainly, their special teams group is always a formidable one. And when we get in these matchups, man, oftentimes significant plays occur in that phase. And so certainly there's a three-phase approach to preparation and planning. Really optimistic about the inclusion of some of our guys, as I mentioned earlier, and certainly it's the time for that in the AFC North Championship game. And I'm sure Baltimore's up the same mindset. We played these guys most recently. I'm sure we'll have a wrinkle or two. I'm sure they'll have a wrinkle or two. But I'm sure at the end of the day, wrinkles won't determine the outcome of this game. Quality playmaking, particularly in time and moments, in timely moments, will. And so it's important that we formulate a good plan, that we divide the labor up appropriately, and we put our guys in position to do so, make those plays, and prevent those plays on the other side. And I'm sure Baltimore has a similar sentiment as they push forward throughout their week. It is an honor, man, to be in these games, to be in these hotly contested matchups. Seems like Baltimore is always a dance partner. I certainly am respectful and appreciative of that relationship and some of the historic things we've been able to do when these two teams have come together. This appears to be one of those weekends. It's humbling and an honor to be a component of it, but to be a component of it is just that. You know, our job is to win. And so with that, man, I'll pause and open up for questions.
Mike, I'm assuming since PJ practiced last week that he's been cleared at least to do that. What is the holdup now? Is it up to him or how he feels uncomfortable?
Again, he's coming off of a medical circumstance different than the injury circumstance. And so certainly he has a certain level of health, but we want to be, you know, cautious about how we work him back into the fold. And certainly he's done appropriate things in that area as well. And as I mentioned last week, I'm sure you guys will be hearing from him sooner rather than later, directly.
Mike, sorry. Given the circumstances of this game, would you consider using him situationally, or does he need to be back to be a full-time starter?
I'm open to utilizing him in any way that's appropriate relative to his availability.
Mike, does he need to practice fully multiple days this week to be able to go on Sunday?
Practice participation certainly would be more comforting in terms of making the decision, given he's coming back from a medical circumstance.
How would you describe his level of football shape?
I doubt that TJ is ever out of football shape or conditioning over the course of a 12-month calendar. I just know how he lives his life and how he prepares and how thoughtful he is in terms of what he puts in his body and how he trains. And so I don't imagine, you know, that component of it being a major concern.
Mike, is Darnell's injury, it's safe to say that's season-ending regardless of what happens?
He's not available to us this week, and, you know, that's really all the information that I was concerned about as we formulate a plan, man. This is a one-week season for us.
He's a unique athlete. How do you sort of compensate for not having him available?
You know, we use a lot of tight ends. We also use guys at the tight end position that don't play tight end, Spencer Anderson. And so we have a lot of options at our disposal relative to that from a strategy perspective. And certainly, given 6 or 7 days to prepare, I don't think it'll be a strategic issue in terms of replacing his efforts.
Mike, you said it's humbling to be in games like this, but is it also frustrating to be in this position after having a chance to clinch the division a week ago?
Man, it's a lot of things that you could get frustrated about in our business. I've learned to kind of always move forward. My windshield is much bigger than my rear view. I'm certainly interested in learning from my experiences, but I'm equally as interested in learning from my experiences that happened much earlier in the process. It's all food for growth from my perspective. Frustration doesn't get the job done. I'm singularly focused on putting together a good plan and preparing this group for this awesome opportunity that we have.
Mike, the last time you guys played the Ravens, DK had a really big game and seeing the way that the Browns played you guys in terms of manning up and not having success you guys needed throughout the in the air, what do you guys have to do in order to try to beat the Ravens without DK? And
you know,
the ball more, or what do you guys have to
if they give us one-on-one playmaking opportunities, we got to make those plays, and we got to put guys in position to do so. We got very capable men. Oftentimes, I say there's a fine line between being a Pro Bowler and a backup. We're at the top of the food chain in terms of the football world. And so it's a reasonable expectation from my perspective, particularly with an additional week to prepare, that we put together a thoughtful plan and that we position our guys to take advantage of opportunities. And if and when they do present themselves, that we make the plays.
Mike, how did TJ look to you in his first week back at practice last week?
Man, I thought he looked great, man. I know he was glad to be out there with his teammates. I think that's a component of it that we don't talk often enough about when someone is injured or out, the isolation component of it. You know, we're a communal group, man. This is a team sport definitively. And so more than anything, I thought he displayed an excitement that comes with being back out there with his teammates.
Last week, when we talked to you, you mentioned what Roman Wilson, when he was asked about how to replace DK, and I think later in the week you made similar comments about Roman, yet he only played 9 snaps. What happened? Will that change this week?
You know, particularly when you're not winning third downs, I don't think anyone plays as much as they would like. We've had this conversation many times about running the football. I felt really good about our run plan. I thought we had an opportunity to really control the game through those means, but and we didn't have a bad running day, but we certainly didn't have as good a running day as we could have had we converted more possession downs. And I think the same could be said about levels of participation for guys like Roman and thus their ability to impact the game and in a positive way.
Mike, you guys had 16 targets between Valdez Scantling and Miller, only 5 for Freiermuth, 4 for Gainwell. Is there a game planning element that you guys can do to get more targets to the guys who've traditionally been your playmakers, or is that something you just trust Aaron Rodgers to handle?
You know, we certainly draw up enough schematics to spread the ball around. We believe all our eligibles are playmakers. There's a lot of variables that go into how the ball is distributed. And certainly schematic approach and matchups of the opposing teams are a component of that. And so what might have been a story last week or a challenge last week may or may not be a story or a challenge this week.
You talked about you having a bigger windshield than a rearview mirror. Obviously, your lens is different than your players. What do you do for them to try to instill that mindset in them this week?
I display that in my actions, and certainly I embrace that as a leader. You know, there's things that we say, and then there's how we move. And I like to have both aligned. And certainly I'm prepared to display singular focus and preparedness and urgency this week as we lean in on this opportunity.
Can you give an example of maybe how that would be different than a different week?
No.
What kind of response did you see from them yesterday in just the preliminary week
meeting? You know, I don't know that I was looking for a response. Response is kind of action-based. And we were talking about what transpired and why and working on the beginnings of formulating an appropriate plan for this week. And so what we do tomorrow and leading up to the game in terms of our physical labor and the spirit in which we do it will be much more of a determinant of our quality of play and thus our chances of winning than maybe our reaction to a meeting on a Monday.
I'm not asking you to compare Lamar to Huntley as players, but schematically, when you have studied them at times when Huntley has been the quarterback, how similar do they try to use him, deploy him, just within the framework of their offense to when Lamar is the QB?
I think there's certainly some things that are exclusive to Lamar, and that's not taking anything away from Huntley. It's just certain things that are Lamar and no other human on the planet. But largely, I think they play to a certain personality regardless of who's at quarterback, and I think that was on display a week ago. I think they're experienced in playing with Huntley. They know how to play with him schematically, and certainly he knows how to play and has logged some significant reps over his years there. One year, I think he was even a Pro Bowler when Lamar missed a significant amount of time. And so although it is a potentially a backup quarterback circumstance, I think there's some real fluidity there from their perspective. And to be quite honest with you, when things get thick, they play a certain way regardless of who's playing quarterback. And usually the ball is going to go through the big runner, and that's what we expect.
Mike, with this being essentially a playoff game, winner take all, Do you approach it differently from a coaching point of view to the scheme in terms of maybe taking more chances?
You know, I think that's reflective of December football. And so it's not only playoff, win or go home football, but I just think it's as the road gets narrow, as we say in this business, you see people taking calculated risk in pursuit of victory, and certainly we're not opposed to that.
Mike, is the Baltimore running game, is it so hard to stop just because of those two guys, or is it more than that?
You know, it's also quarterback mobility. Oftentimes, they force you into an 11-on-11 football because whether or not Lamar keeps the ball or not, there's a threat of him keeping the ball, and that thins out oftentimes your second and your third level of defense when it comes to point of attack running. And so, you know, some things that they do uniquely that others don't. The quarterback mobility is a component of it that makes it unique with Lamar's unique talents, and certainly the unique talents of the big runner makes it a challenge as well.
Mike, what's changed with the rush defense, your rush defense, since that last Baltimore game?
You know, I don't know that a lot has changed in terms of, you know, what we're doing. We've got some player availability that's been improved. You know, Derek Harmon's back, and I think, you know, that's significant, or at least, you know, the significance of his presence has been well documented. We'll see. But I don't know that we're doing anything dramatically different. We're stacking the box when appropriate and making judgments about when that is and when that isn't in an effort to neutralize some of the complementary components. Stability is big, I think, in people. And so, you know, the additions of some of these guys that have missed some time might be helpful to our efforts as well. You know, certainly I'm open to wrinkles, but at this stage of the journey for us, it's about competing and competing at a high level and being connected. And oftentimes that's with things that you know and know very well, whether you're talking about an individual or about a collective.
There's a chance this might be Aaron Rodgers' last game, depending on how it goes. What has it been like to work with him, and what kind of impact do you think he's made on the organization during the time he's been here?
You know, I don't know that I've taken time to ponder that. I'm just committed to making sure that it's not. He's certainly been an awesome contributor to our efforts, and not only from a talent perspective and an experience perspective, but just his professionalism, his relationship with the game, his love for his teammates, and his willingness to help them grow and get better and gain better understanding each and every day has been cool to be a part of.
Is games like Sunday night one of the reasons you wanted him so badly in the offseason?
As I probably stated several times in the last few weeks, absolutely.
Mike, how much does the outcome of this weekend's game affect how you view the totality of the season as a success or not?
The winner goes on.
And in that case, week 18, high-stakes game like this, is there such thing as home field advantage?
Certainly there is. You know, the ability to change plays at the line of scrimmage, to communicate, to get in appropriate schemes and so forth offensively gets challenged. It's the same urgency that we had when we went into Baltimore several weeks ago. It creates tangible challenges for your offense. And that's why it's so important that you start fast when you're in those adverse circumstances. That's why our ability to go down the field and score on the first possession, for example, in Baltimore a couple of weeks back, I thought was so significant in terms of trying to neutralize some of that. Our job this week is different. But I'm certainly glad that this game is being played in Akershore.
Is there a message to the fans who've been critical this season to stay highly engaged and energized being the home crowd?
No message at all. That's our job to make sure that we have the appropriate engagement. And so I'm committed to that component of it.
Mike, your run defense has shut down guys like Jonathan Taylor, Jameer Gibbs, but you've allowed guys like James Cook and other guys to be explosive. What have you guys done when you've channeled a collective positive effort that's contained in one game?
Maybe it's just Derek Harmon.
One thing that has come up is a lot of those times where the backs have gotten loose is our games where you've also had to deal with a good mobile running quarterback. In those contests, what have you found execution-wise that you could have done better to stop two guys at the same time?
You know, I'm not going to try to paint with a broad brush and assess multiple games, many of which I don't know exactly what you guys are talking about. But, you know, we've had some good games. We've had some games that have not been good in terms of minimizing the run. We certainly understand the gravity of it as it pertains to this matchup, and we're committed to putting together a good plan to work to minimize it, because it is a major component of us engineering victory, no doubt.
When it comes to fourth and short, are you always aware if it's less than one, more than one, and is that what happened on the fourth and one?
I work to be aware, but, you know, replay assist sometimes makes some judgments and alters it in some way, and that's why sometimes you'll see me leaving the team box in an effort to get a better view on something after the ball or as the ball is being spotted. But, you know, that's just the challenges of the business in today's game, and I'm sure all my peers do similar things.
Mike, after the game in Cleveland, talking with Patrick Queen in the locker room, asked about this high-stakes matchup. He said, if you really love the sport, if you really love the game, you have to be a competitor. How do you see that displayed from your guys, particularly the leaders on this group, as the road gets narrow?
You know, I think we'll write that story, particularly as it pertains to this week when our physical work gets started tomorrow. But if you're asking me, do I have the right guys? Certainly. I think that's what we painstakingly go through when we evaluate talent, be it the draft or free agency. Are they good men? Are they good men who have good relationships with the game of football? Do they love it? When you love it, everything else is generally more fluid.
How much having Aaron can be a calming presence to, you have a young offensive line, guys that maybe aren't, he's had so much experience in these late season games where some other guys haven't. What's that
mean? I think we've benefited from that at every step of the journey. His experience and what he's able to do for a collective relative to thick moments.
Mike, the Ravens had a 200-yard rush game last time against you. Did you have a different feel about your defense, at least then, as opposed to the way you felt after last year's playoff game?
I certainly feel better positioned in 2025 to deal with it than I did in 2024.
You've often talked about how good Pat Freiermuth is against zone. Have you found that to be the case with Jonnu as well? Is that just kind of the nature of the tight end position? Is he the same way?
He's certainly capable. Whether or not we choose to is another story. We build plans week in and week out in an effort to highlight them, and particularly them relative to what we anticipate from others. And so, you know, some weeks are zone weeks, some weeks are man weeks. Different people are highlighted based on the matchups in those discussions. And so he's certainly capable.
When you guys last faced Baltimore, you guys won despite being outrushed by like 200 yards or something like that. Is flipping that around, or at least mitigating that this time, a big key for making up for the absence of a DK Metcalf? It was huge for you guys in that game.
I think there's a lot of variables that could really affect the outcome of the game in a significant way. Rushing and stopping the rush is certainly. Taking the ball away and preserving ball security is another. Splash plays in the team's game. You know, there's a myriad of variables that could impact how you engineer victory, and that's why we continually always put a bunch of lines in the water and worked all components of the equation in an effort to increase our chances there.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Anyone else?
Mike, after the game, Aaron Rodgers said he has full confidence that you guys will come home and win this game this week. How do you see that displayed from him, and what gives you confidence in him?
Again, it's the early portions of the week. We haven't done anything relative to prep. I'm sure it will be displayed in how he behaves tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week. As I mentioned before, I'm not surprised. That's one of the things that made him really attractive to us, that can-do attitude and the experience and resume that goes with it. I don't think it's work for him. I think it's as natural as breathing. And so if he's breathing, I expect to see that from him as we lean in on this game.
Mike, you did have two good two-minute drives you talked about. Is there anything that you can take from those to bring to other parts of the game, or are those situations so unique that it's hard to make a carryover?
There's certainly a carryover from a self-eval perspective, but there's also the defensive schematic component of those situations and scenarios, and oftentimes it depends on, you know, how the defensive signal caller calls it in terms of being able to carry it forward or no.
Anyone? All right.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And welcome, everyone, to the 2025 AFC North Championship Week.
Welcome to AFC North Championship Week, as I like to refer to it.
Yeah. The one thing that I really took away from Tomlin during that press conference, and that was the Mike Tomlin press conference, not really a flamboyant one like we've had in weeks past, but all down to the business and down to the brass tacks of win and you're in, lose and you go home, or if you're the Steelers, you stay home. Mike Tomlin said, it's an honor to be in these games. What? So it's an honor to be in this game, Sunday Night Football, sure, yeah, great, Ravens, whatever, because you couldn't take care of business yourself in Cleveland? I think it would be more of an honor, Mike, if you would have had a hat and t-shirt game, as you like to call it, at your rival's venue, pulled out the hat, pulled out the t-shirts, wear them on the podium, we're AFC North champs in Cleveland, a place that has been a house of horrors for you, 1-6-1 in your last, what, 8 games in Cleveland there. Haven't won there without Ben since Tommy Maddox in the early 2000s. He's never won without Ben in Cleveland. I think it would be more of an honor to have done that and rest all of your players, have it be a 1 o'clock game, and everybody could just, you know, take down their Christmas decorations and hang out with family and enjoy the start of the new year. Where, no, it's an honor to be in these games where it's all on the line, winner take all, because you screwed it up to begin with to make it this type of instance where now you can't rest anybody, and now you have to potentially rush TJ Watt back, where it was good to hear Mike Tomlin say that regarding Watt, he is optimistic about his potential inclusion in this game. And that this is the most optimistic that Tomlin has been going into any week after what happened to Watt with the punctured lung and then needing the surgery that he had and basically working his way back. It's not a football injury. It's just really a health thing and a health component where you can't play. You're not going to play with a lung that is that damaged or that is really damaged at all. You want TJ Watt to be as close to 100% as possible. I don't think he plays at 80%, 85%, 90%. He needs to be like 95 to 100% back with that lung injury to prevent further injury, whether it be to that lung or anything else that might affect him because he's missed a couple of weeks, and that's a very serious injury. So it was good to hear that regarding Watt. Other injuries, Calvin Austin has a chance to come back. Same thing with Brandon Echols with his groin injury, Sayamalo with his injury. James Pierre's missed a couple of weeks with the calf, and Malik Harrison had a bone bruise. So it is confirmed Darnell Washington is out for pretty much the season. And he had surgery on his broken arm. And, I mean, unless they got to like the Super Bowl, there's probably no chance that Darnell Washington comes back. Mike Tomlin said that it really doesn't change much, though, with what they do offensively. I found that kind of fascinating. So you're telling me that not having Darnell, who has been a huge focal point in your offense, blocking in the passing game, it's not going to change much. At least that's what I took it. That's what I took away from what Tomlin said. I think that's kind of a bunch of BS. And we would have seen, we already saw the impact with the offense. They weren't able to run it as well. They didn't try to run it as much without Darnell in there. We talk about how important Spencer Anderson is to the running game. How about Darnell Washington and how he's emerged? So now that he's not out there, it's going to be Pat Freiermuth, who Tomlin likes to say, oh, well, he can't really block 3-4 ends or 4-3 ends. And Jonnu Smith, who isn't a great blocker. This is what Mike Tomlin had to say. The full answer back and forth, multiple questions asked about TJ Watt.
With that, man, I'll pause and open up for questions.
Mike, I'm assuming since TJ practiced last week that he has some, that he's been cleared at least to do that. What is the holdup now? Is it up to him or how he feels uncomfortable?
Again, he's coming off of a medical circumstance different than the injury circumstance. And so certainly he has a certain level of health, but we want to be, you know, cautious about how we work him back into the fold. And certainly he's done appropriate things in that area as well. And as I mentioned last week, I'm sure you guys will be hearing from him sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm surprised that TJ Watt has not really fully addressed everything. It has not said what's happened and how I feel and do I think that I'm ready to go in prime football shape or that this is an injury that I want to, I don't know if risk is the right word, but as he continues to heal and come back from, what is his level of nervousness with playing after everything that's happened to his lung?
Directly.
Mike, sorry. Given the circumstances of this game, would you consider using him situationally, or does he need to be back to be a full-time starter?
I'm open to utilizing him in any way that's appropriate relative to his availability.
And I think that's a good question from Jeff, where if you just have TJ Watt for, let's say, 50% of the snaps, and you limit his availability, kind of like what they've done with Alex Highsmith in the middle of the season when Watt was healthy, Herbig was playing very well, they would use Alex Highsmith a little bit less, where obviously now the last couple of weeks they've had to use him significantly with the injury to Watt. But the same is probably going to happen when they bring back Watt as like what they did with Highsmith. And those numbers from the last previous weeks before TJ Watt was hurt, Alex Highsmith was out week 11 and week 12, but when Watt played week 13, week 14, he was at 73% of the snaps, then 78. Highsmith the last 2 weeks, 88%, 91%. Jack Sawyer played 89% of the snaps in week 16 after Nick Herbig missed that game as well. So I would expect TJ Watt to play probably right around 50% of the snaps. And that's still good enough. You have that type of elite player. I know he hasn't played like it this year. That could still affect the game significantly like he typically does against the Ravens every time they play.
Mike, does he need to practice fully multiple days this week to be able to go on Sunday?
Practice participation certainly would be more comforting in terms of making the decision, given he's coming back from a medical circumstance.
How would you describe his level of football shape?
I doubt that TJ is ever out of football shape or conditioning over the course of a 12-month calendar. I just know how he lives his life and how he prepares and how thoughtful he is in terms of what he puts in his body and how he trains. And so I don't imagine, you know, that component of it being a major concern.
No, I don't really either. I would imagine that TJ Watt is still in as peak physical shape as he can be with everything that's going on with the recovery process. But the skinny of it is, if they get Watt back, even if it's just of a capacity of around 50% of the snaps, then it's a significant addition for the Steelers. Because we've seen how Watt has been able to contain Lamar, has been able to contain the Ravens' run game to an extent. Like, they ran for 200 on them this year. They ran for 299 on them last year. But again, I'd rather have T.J. Watt out there than not. There's still questions about Nick Herbig in the running game. Highsmith has played very well. If you have Highsmith playing at a high level across from Watt, limited capacity, plus Herbig back, it just helps you weather the storm of the Ravens' running game a little bit more. Texter, which quarterback do the Steelers have a better chance of beating on Sunday? Lamar Jackson or Snoop Huntley? I think, honestly, Snoop Huntley. And I know he went into Green Bay and basically just, you know, with their running attack and Snoop Huntley playing efficiently, they kicked the behinds of the Packers. It was clear as day. But I don't think that it's a kind of a similar thing that I feel about, like, the Rudolph argument. Mason Rudolph in spurts and a couple of game stretches can make you feel good about the Steelers' offense, can provide a spark. Snoop Huntley, who's played against the Steelers before and has beaten the Steelers, I think, once before, I don't think it would be... Look, Lamar just brings a different element. Snoop Huntley, he's fine. He's a guy. Sure, he made the Pro Bowl that one year. Whoop-de-doo, good for him. Lamar brings, and I know he's been hurt this year and he's been banged up, still the ability to run. He's a better passer. He's a better passer in the pocket. He's a better passer outside the pocket. And there's more that you have to prepare for and get ready for when facing Lamar. More accurate passer, especially with the deep ball, which isn't great, but better than Snoop Huntley, than if you were playing Huntley. There's more factors to facing Lamar than there is to Huntley. I think it's clear that if you face Lamar, it's going to be more challenging, even though they've done very well against Lamar in the past. Can't forget about the two games last year where Lamar owned the Steelers a little bit. He fought back some of those demons. But then again this year, the one game they played, Pony took the shot at him, just kind of an average quarterback. And he's overrated, I think is the word that Pony used. And Lamar said, say less. Lamar didn't say much in that game. So I do think Lamar, maybe a little bit more motivation and maybe something to prove after what's gone on this year, he would give the Ravens a better chance to win. 412-928-9370, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, Brian Batko will join us at the top of the hour. The time right now is 12:38. Brought to you by Gina Giampietro of REMAX Select Realty. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. More reaction to what Mike Tomlin had to say at his weekly presser, including what Mike Tomlin had to say about the run defense, the game plan, and also a brief, long pause that he took. It's brief in the sense of a conversation, but it's a long pause in the sense of a press conference that you don't really see often from Tomlin. What was that all about? That's next. Logan has a headline. We're back in a moment. Austin Bechtold in for Pump and Joe on a Tuesday afternoon on The Fan.
How much does the outcome of this weekend's game affect how you view the totality of the season as a success or not?
The winner goes on.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's hear that again.
How much does the outcome of this weekend's game affect how you view the totality of the season as a success or not?
The winner goes on.
So I see what Brooke Pryor meant by that question, and I think it's a good one, where, because if you lose this game, the vibe and the sentiment around what this season was is a lot different than if you get to the playoffs and even lose a playoff game. Because even in previous seasons during this streak of 8 consecutive years, what could be going on 9 without a playoff win, if you go to the playoffs, because at this point, there were two separate options that you could have had. You could have either been a team that missed the playoffs but won like 6 games, 5 games and had a good draft pick, okay, or go to the playoffs and have an actual chance to win a playoff game. And while I do think that they still have a chance to win a playoff game, my confidence level has just dropped after you lose to a 3-12 Cleveland team. And I understand that it's the Browns and they've always given you trouble and it's on the road and the fine. That's not a good enough excuse for me. That's not strong enough. It's not like they had a high-flying offense. It's not like Jerry Jeudy is an all-pro wide receiver. It's not like Judkins played. They were down 2 running backs. Shedeur Sanders is their quarterback. I mean, come on. And they had like 30 yards of offense in the second half. So, I don't care that it was the Browns. That's what takes my confidence level down. Like, I don't care how good or what circumstances, I should say, you want to throw out there. What excuses you want to throw out there. They lost to the Browns. They laid an egg. 28 points per game they were averaging the last three games, and they scored six against that Cleveland Browns defense. They gave up 31 to Tennessee. So, yes, the winner moves on, and the winner continues their season into the next season, and it will change the perspective a little bit. If they go into the playoffs and get boat raced by the Bills again, or they lose to Houston's strong defense, like, you think Cleveland's defense was a problem. Just wait until Houston comes here and Will Anderson and Derek Stingley has to go up against Aaron Rodgers. That could be an issue. So, I think what Tomlin understood the question. He just kind of threw it in a direction where it wasn't stating the obvious. Where if they miss the playoffs after having potentially two games where they could have rested starters, depending on what happened with the Baltimore-Green Bay game, or it didn't happen and they had to play them. You had the division firmly in your grasp. Joe Burrow misses most of the year. Lamar has been banged up all year. Cleveland is terrible. And you completely blow it. Yeah, the perception of the season, the perception of Mike Tomlin, it's going to linger far into the offseason. Because a lot of the rainbows and the butterflies and the sunshine that has been built up over the last 3 weeks.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Gone like that. So what is the game plan in this matchup? against Baltimore, Mike.
You guys had 16 targets between Valdez, Scantling, and Miller, only 5 for Freiermuth, 4 for Gainwell. Is there a game planning element that you guys can do to get more targets to the guys who've traditionally been your playmakers, or is that something you just trust Aaron Rodgers to handle?
You know, we certainly draw up enough schematics to spread the ball around. We believe all our eligibles are playmakers. There's a lot of variables that go into how the ball is distributed, and certainly schematic approach and matchups of the opposing teams are a component of that. And so what might have been a story last week or a challenge last week may or may not be a story or a challenge this week.
There are a lot of variables that go into who gets the football. Let me simplify it for you, Mike. Let me simplify this for you, Artie. Throw the ball to your best players. Throw the ball to your most proven players. And when I say proven, I mean with this team. Kenneth Gainwell, who is your offensive MVP, outside of maybe Aaron Rodgers. Pat Freiermuth, who is your most highly compensated tight end. One of the most highly compensated players on your entire offense. Why don't you throw it to him instead of MVS from the practice squad and Scotty Miller, your number 5 wide receiver that's on the field and on the team for special teams. But that is who Aaron Rodgers was singling out because those are the guys that he feels the most comfortable with. Why he's not built that rapport with Pat Freiermuth, I don't know. It seems like they have a good relationship. Jonnu Smith, it seems anywhere Arthur Smith goes, Jonnu Smith has to follow. Tennessee, Atlanta, Pittsburgh. 5 catches, 16 yards. Really? So how they've deployed some of these offensive pieces too. This was just kind of a run-of-the-mill Tomlin press conference. He didn't really answer too much. There wasn't anything all too flamboyant other than the fact that the winner goes home, and we're welcoming you to Championship Week.
Welcome to AFC North Championship Week, as I like to refer to it.
That's fun, right? Welcome to the AFC North Championship Week. Win and you're in. Let's put names around it, a hat and t-shirt type of game. But how much does it truly matter to Steelers fans? I wonder what the vibe is. And you can text in at 412-928-9370. You can also chime in on the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, as we're past the 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Because I feel like some Steelers fans are very conflicted after this. There's Steelers fans that still believe that maybe this is just a one-off, a burn-the-tape type of game. You go into it against Baltimore and can still win it. And I think they can. It's a true coin flip game in my mind. It is one where Baltimore, similar sentiment as the Steelers. The things that are different in the matchup is obviously roster construction. Baltimore, if they have Lamar, is a little bit compromised, makes it somewhat even with Rodgers, but still I would take Lamar Jackson over Aaron Rodgers, and I've been very critical of Lamar in his career. Coaching-wise, Tomlin over Harbaugh. I don't know, you take. Running game, give me Baltimore. Weapons, give me Baltimore. I don't even know who's going to play for the Steelers. Calvin Austin, who knows? Washington's out. Metcalf is out. Those are 3 of your top targets. Defense, I'd probably rather have the Steelers. So it's a real coin flip game in a lot of areas and a lot of respects. But as Nick Faerbauh called it, it is the battle of mid. It is the battle of mid. Not the battle of midway. It is just mid. Just average. 2 teams that are going to go to the playoffs, probably not win a playoff game. We'll have a chance because they have a good home field advantage, because they have a decent structure of their team, because they can somewhat run the ball if you're the Steelers, or they can run the ball if you're the Ravens and you just get out of your own way and decide to give it to Derrick Henry 30 times. So it's still possible, but there's also that faction of Steelers fans that probably want this to get ugly, that want the Steelers to lose this game, that want Baltimore to come in here and basically do what they did to the Steelers a year ago in Baltimore, where they ran for 299 and made it embarrassing for the Steelers. Because if it's in your own building and it's the final game of the regular season, Sunday Night Football, everyone's watching. The Fan Weather, it's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It is snowing out there. Be careful as you drive around, as temperatures are in the mid-teens, but the feels-like temperature is a lot colder than that. Right now, 24, and it feels like 6 with snow expected for the next hour or so, and snow expected as it'll go into the start of the PM team as well. So everyone be careful. Austin Bechtold with you. Brian Bacco will join the show next right here on Pomp and Joe.
Logan Arblaster with your fan headlines. The Penguins are back on the ice tonight at PPG Paints Arena. Carolina Hurricanes Penguins puck drop is at 7 p.m. Headlines are powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. More at 937thefan.com.
That leaves a bad taste in your mouth to end the season. And it would leave a lot worse of a taste this year than it did last year, considering this collapse and considering that there was actually more hope this season than there was last year and the year before that and the year before that, as this was the worst Steeler game in Cleveland since the year before that and the year before that and, you know, probably the year before that.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.